I put that, amen. I put that up there to give everybody a little extra inspiration. Today is November 1st. However, the Space Coast Church of Christ is coming. January 2016. We have our, amen. We have a brand new projector today. We have a brand new screen. We got a brand new pointer. I got a lesson for you. That's even better, right? I mean, I could come with those things and you'd say, but where's the meat at, you know? So I brought the meat too. Carmen and I are so excited to be here. You know, we're still, I know I'm just going to keep mentioning this to you. We're finishing out our careers over in Orlando. Carmen's moving a business. I'm finishing out my career. January is it for us. January is it for the church here. You know, it's just great. But I've been kind of working on the side, collecting things we need. You know, we're going to have our website hopefully up and running by then. I got the software set up for it, and we're working on that. A lot of things going on. But anyway, welcome today. I'm glad to have all of you here. I know we're small in number, but everybody is cranking out the songs. I really appreciate that. I guess there's a lot of families that are over in Orlando for some kind of a teen deal, right? So anyway, I appreciate everybody filling in the gap and, you know, singing out and just giving praise to God. That is awesome. I wanted to start with something today. Over in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start there. This is a verse I was thinking of when I was getting ready for the lesson today. So this is not the lesson, but it's getting ready for the lesson. This is the pre-lesson for the lesson. It says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Talking about Jesus. "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that statement, when I read that verse in the Bible, I think that is a remarkable statement. Because everything around us is here because of Jesus. I don't think about that very much. But everything is in existence. It was created through Him, and it was created for Him. That is pretty amazing. So as we live our lives out, we can rest assured that everything we own and everything we set about to do, everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus, and it's held together by Jesus. That is amazing. I don't think we think enough about that. You know, I think about all of the world governments were created through Jesus. Our careers were created through Jesus. Our families were created through Jesus. Our plans were created through Jesus. That is remarkable to me. So I keep that in mind as we go into the sermon today, as we go into the talk today, because today I want to talk about something that is all going to relate to Jesus. You know, everything that we do, I don't know about you, but I tend to think about how does that fit in the Bible? Like, you know, there's a scripture here somewhere. Everything I'm doing, I'm thinking, there's a verse here somewhere for this. And as we move in over here, I told you last week that, you know, you might as well just, if you're buying an old house, you might as well just sign your paycheck over to Lowe's or Home Depot because you're going to be there 20 times a day and buying stuff. So, you know, this morning, so I've got a lot of material for sermons that have to do with moving in. So this is one of those, okay? So let me just get on here. Today we're going to talk about building. I want to tell you the story about this, that to set it up, is we were in Sam's Club a few months ago, and, you know, we had purchased the house. And we were in there, and there's one of these big, you know, sheds. It's an 8x10 shed, you know, for the backyard. And it's made by a company called Lifetime. And I always thought Lifetime meant, you know, it was going to last your lifetime. But no, it's going to take a lifetime to build it. That's what that really means. So the Lifetime shed. So basically, we bought the Lifetime shed, and, you know, they came and they dropped these two big boxes on our driveway, and there it was, man, the Lifetime shed all flattened out on the driveway. And, you know, the last 3 weeks, I mean, you know, you read online, it says it takes around 6 to 8 hours to build the shed. Well, sorry, it's been 3 weekends now, and we're still building the shed, but I've had a lot of great adventures doing it. So, you know, but anyway, it's turned out to be 3 weekends. And Like I said, building that shed has given me many spiritual lessons along the way, you know, in patience or all those things. There's too many lessons to cover today, so I've only got a couple of them that I'm going to give you. And the first one is you've got to choose your foundation. Now, this is very important. When you buy a shed or when you do anything in life, you've got to choose a foundation. So basically, what I did was this doesn't come with the shed. The shed is like, you know, a big plastic thing. The foundation, I chose wood. So this is a picture of the wooden foundation that I built in the backyard. I was very proud of it. I still am very proud of it. It's an 8x10 foot structure. It's 2x4s that are pressure treated on 16-inch centers, if you know what that is. And there's 3/4-inch plywood over top of the whole thing that's also pressure treated. And then I leveled it on blocks, so it's, you know, pretty level. And so that's the foundation. Now, what I want to do is look at this verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. It says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock." Well, you're not going to find any rock in Florida. "But when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about this the whole time. And I'm thinking about, you know, you think about hurricanes, right? Because here we are. I'm thinking, okay, this is a plastic shed. I want to make sure this thing is built right, you know? And how this is going to work out long term, who knows? You know, it may not last a lifetime. It may get blown to smithereens. But as you go through life, you have to make decisions. All of us have to make decisions on what we're going to build on. You can go through life and you can never give God a thought. You can live life that way. There's plenty of people that do that. You go through life, you never think about God, and you never take it any further. And never decide, I'm going to seek Him. Because seeking God takes time. It takes time to understand Him. It takes time to find Him. It takes time to find out what He wants for my life. And everybody here, I hope that we're all making time. And you wouldn't be here today if you weren't making time to find out what does God mean for my life. Because it's very easy to decide. Somewhere along the way, we can decide, I'm just going to be shallow. I'm going to be paper thin. And I'm not really going to find out about God. We can decide it's all about me. And when you decide it's all about you, that can feel great for a while. You know, there's nothing to worry about. You kind of go on, and you may be happy for a while, but then guess what? The floods come. The hardships of life come. Loss of a family member, loss of a job, loss of a relationship, loss of health. Those things can come. But if your foundation is built well, you'll come out even stronger than before. So it really is a lot like building a building, you know? It's all about the foundation. Here's the thing about the first thing we looked at was choose your foundation. That's one decision to make. That's a decision you can make any time in your life. You can decide at any point in your life, I'm going to start building the foundation. I don't care if you're 15 years old or 20 years old or you're 60 or 70 years old. You can make that decision. My mother made that decision to basically build a foundation in her life. She was 85 years old, 86 years old when she made that decision. You know, at the time, she was like the oldest person I knew of anywhere in our churches that had made that decision. It's like, man, this is pretty cool. And got baptized at 86 years old. You know, Mom Coon started moving out at 86 years old. I mean, she ended up getting in a Bible talk group. They studied the Bible with people. She was a recluse for most of her life, but became a person that changed completely. Like, she became someone who her natural humor came out. She would talk to people. She did things during her years as a disciple before she passed on that are just amazing to me, because I knew her as one type of person, but yet God totally changed her. You know, it is never too late to start. It never matters. Here's the thing about God that's really cool. God never gives up on us. And He never can. When we basically come to Him and we turn ourselves into God, He forgets everything that went on before. I mean, any day in your life, you can get up and start over and you can have a fresh start. I think that is an awesome thing about God. It's never too late to start. And you may be sitting here today and you may say, I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life. It's a mess. Listen, every day with God is a new day. And you can start this day to make different decisions. So you've got to choose your materials wisely. This is the second point. Choose your materials wisely. The second thing that I want to look at today. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not. There's this old carpenter's saying. And you can have it fast. You ever heard this? You can have it fast. You can have it cheap. You can have quality. Pick any two. Like when you hire somebody to do work for you, this is what they say. Well, what do you want? You want it fast and cheap? Fine. It won't have quality. You want it fast with quality? Okay, I can do that, but it's not going to be cheap. You want it cheap? You want it cheap with quality? That's fine, but it's going to take me a long time. It's going to go at the end of the road. It's not going to be fast. So pick any two. You know, that's just one of those kind of underlying concepts in life. You know, when somebody first told me that, I thought, oh, that's interesting. And the more I thought about it, isn't that true? Yeah. It really is true, you know. You can pick any two of them. So you've got to choose your materials wisely. So, you know, another look at the foundation that I'm really proud of. And, you know, I felt like I chose the materials wisely. We're going to talk, you know, the reason why I'm taking you here, you're going to see. Okay, so when we look over in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look over there for a minute. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. See, there's good news and bad news here. You know, the bad news is, you know, if you don't do some quality decisions along the way, you may suffer some loss. The good news is that God is gracious, and He makes that up. And you may escape as one escaping through the flames. So you may see some heartache in life, but yet you will make it. You know, you'll get through. But you've got to choose wisely along the way what kind of a foundation you're building. So now here's the foundation. Now it's got the flooring on it. How do you know if you're choosing wisely? How do you know? The way we know is we make decisions in our life based on the Bible. See, we're faced with millions of decisions over a lifetime, right? There's millions of things. Some of them are consequential. Some of them are not. You know, some of them are just random decisions that we have to make. But the only way we're going to know what the right ones are is through seeking and studying the Bible and studying every day and looking for what is God's will in my life. Yeah, Bert. Thanks. So I spent a lot of time researching this foundation because I knew it was important. You know, this is one of those principles. You know, okay, this thing has to be right or the whole project's going to be a disaster, right? So I'm reading, you know, I found out, you know, the internet's an amazing thing. You can get on YouTube and you can find out how to do anything. I think you could probably learn how to build a rocket ship on YouTube. I don't know. Everything's out there. I mean, I can type in the most random stuff, you know, how do I you know, unclog a drain. That's one I had to do. And I got, you know, just a plethora of these those things out there. One, you know, how to put a vent in an unvented bathroom. Well, it's out there. There's people that teach you how to do that, how to fix drywall. It's all out there. So, you know, I spent time researching about this, and I had a decision to make what kind of material I was going to use. I could have used cement. Probably would have been good. You know, looking back on it, maybe that would have been better. But, you know, there's a cost with cement. You know, it's got to be level. It's messy. You got to mix it, or you got to have a cement truck come up and, you know, dump the stuff. There's a lot of preparation for cement. I spent most of my life as a kid. My dad was always building stuff. He was a fanatic about building stuff. And he would mix cement by hand. And he taught me how to mix cement. I still remember this day how to do it. He taught me how to mix cement in this big trough that he built. And I would get there with a hoe. And, you know, you'd put the water and the sand and the cement and the gravel in there. And you would hoe it down to one end of the trough. And then you go to the other end, you'd hoe it back. And he would say, you know, I want you to do that, Tommy, 4 times. And then it'll be mixed. But don't go less than 4 because then it won't be mixed right. So you got to do it and you put the right water in. All those things I remember. So cement is an option, but it's tough. It's a tough thing to do. So, you know, you look out on the internet, and some of the advice you get on the internet, believe it or not, newsflash, is bad advice. Okay? So there was one site out there that talked about building the shed on top of pea gravel that had an underlayment of leveling sand. So I looked at that and I said, well, that sounds cheap. That sounds like something I could do really good. Now that I look back on it, that would have been a disaster. I don't know who wrote that site, but that's a horrible idea. Don't ever do that. If you're ever building anything, don't put it on a bed of gravel. That just, I can tell you right now from experience, that will not work. So I decided on, you know, I'm good at sawing lumber and hammering nails. I'm going to build this thing out of wood. So I did the pressure-treated wood. That's kind of like how it is in life. Sometimes in life, you can get advice from people, and it's the wrong kind of advice. You got to really choose who your advisors are carefully. If you're going to get advice about your spiritual life, it better be somebody that knows the Bible. Because here's a principle. There's plenty of people around in the world who say, oh, I know God. You know, I know who God is. Well, how do you know God? Well, you know, because of I feel like I'm close to God. You ever hear that? I really feel like I'm close to God. And you're thinking, okay, well, how do you substantiate that? Well, it's just how I feel. Well, do you study the Bible? I mean, I talked to one guy here recently. You know, how much do you study the Bible? He said, well, you know, I read maybe a couple of minutes every day, and that's it. And then I go on from there. I'm like, well, how can you possibly know God? You know, it takes time in God's Word. But people are very deceived nowadays. You know, a lot of people think, well, I live in a Christian nation, and I believe in Jesus, therefore I am a Christian, therefore I know God. No, you know God if you've studied the Bible out and you've done what the Bible says. That's how you know God. You do what He says. You do His commands. That's how you follow God. You know, yes, it's a relationship. Yes, it has to do with feelings. Yep. It has to do with being close to God. But it also has to do with knowledge, knowing enough and then putting that into action. You know, that's really what knowing God is. So you've got to pick the right spiritual advisors. And that brings us to the next step. This is a biggie. Get help. Get help. This is number 3. I think this is number 3, right? Yeah. Number 3 is get help. So I was making all these decisions, you know, and I didn't know if they were the right decisions. And if I made some wrong ones, I knew it was going to show up later. I mean, everything I had done so far, like that foundation, I put all that together myself. So now I said, okay, I'm probably going to need some help. This is a 2-man operation at least. I need help. And I remember Karma, she said, well, you know, she said, I think you ought to talk to Greg Coley because he seems like, you know, he's a pretty big guy and he could probably help you out. And I said, well, Greg seems like he's a little old to me. I said that. And then I made the mistake of telling Greg that, and I think he was really insulted, right? You were, you know, but, you know, of course, I'm a lot older than Greg, but it was, but anyway, so then we were talking to Greg and Letty, you know, we saw them, we were talking with them, and I said, well, you know, I think I'm thinking about maybe Greg, could you come over and help me with the shed? And Letty pipes up and she says, oh yes, you need to have Greg over. She says, just have Greg over. I'm going out of town and Greg needs to be kept busy. So you make sure you have him over there and you put him to work. And so, and you know, Greg, he says, yeah, bro, I'll come on over and I'll help you out. So she said, now you keep him busy, but she says, there's one thing that's a downside that you got to know about Greg. She says, you got to feed him, and he eats a lot. She said that. And so, you know, so I said, okay, fine. Now, you know, now that I've gotten to know Greg, we've spent a lot of time together on building this building. And do you guys know this? You remember Lil Abner? Does everybody know who Lil Abner is? You know Lil Abner? No? Lil Abner was this guy out in the backwoods, and he had a girlfriend that was always pursuing him, Daisy Mae Yoakum, right? And you probably remember, you'll know this when I say it. Every year they had the Sadie Hawkins Day race. And the whole Sadie Hawkins Day race was everybody would, you know, the men would take off running and the women had to catch their husbands, you know, and if they got free for another year, then, you know, they were single for another year. So every year, you know, Lil Abner had outrun Daisy Mae, you know, every year, and she was always pursuing him. Well, you know, but Lil Abner was really strong. Like, he didn't know his own strength, you know. So now when I think of Greg, I almost think about a, you know, kind of a black version of Lil Abner. Because yeah, he really doesn't know his own strength. I mean, he came over and you know, I think maybe there must have been, I think that Letty probably pursued him in a race and caught him, and that's how she married him, right? It's the Sadie Hawkins Day race. But anyway, so he comes over, you know, and Greg is, he's strong. I really regretted my comment about him being old because he really was big and powerful. But anyway, he, you know, we had, so this, you know, you can imagine this thing here is getting really heavy. I mean, these are this is an 8x10 thing of 2x4s. It's several hundred pounds. And so, you know, we get to a point where it needs to get leveled. It needs to be shimmed up. And, you know, Greg's there and you know, he says, well, I'll just pick the corner up. And he reaches down, he picks the whole corner up, which I'm just amazed at. You know, he picks that whole thing up, and wow. Okay, so, but anyway, so finally, though, you know, we've had many adventures, and we get to the point where we're kind of stuck because we start putting the walls up, and we realize this thing isn't as level as I thought it was. And in fact, it has basically, this has two major flaws with it. So can you tell what the flaws are? There's two flaws with this structure. See if you can guess what they are. It's not, well, it actually is square. That's just the camera. But it's a little bit, that's right, it's a little bit unlevel. A little bit, yes, a little bit unlevel, but there's something else. It doesn't have enough supports underneath. You notice there's only one on each corner. So the whole thing was kind of bowing in the middle. So anyway, it kind of got to the point where, you know, Greg had to go home. And so I said, okay, we got to figure this out. So I go out and I find, you know, I find this, it's a jack. I went out and I bought this jack at Walmart. These are $18. They're 2-ton jacks. Here's another picture of it. These things are great. So, I mean, and I know that the name anyway. So, you know, I had to move around the structure, and I was jacking this thing up, and I got it perfectly level. Perfectly level. And so I thought about this. You know, what do you learn from all this? You learn that when you're building something, a lot of times you need help, right? You've got to get help. So that's just another principle here. Let's look over in Acts chapter 8. Now, I didn't put this one up because it's too long to put up here. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. This is a story of Philip and the Ethiopian. I love this story because Philip was a man who was a powerful man and, you know, a man of great responsibility, and yet he had the humility to basically look for help in his quest for God. So, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace of the Ethiopians. She was the queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is a passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" So, you know, here's a man who somebody else has to teach him. He learns about Jesus, and then he takes action. He says, "Okay, I'm going to do whatever I need to do here because this is from God." And so he was humble. He was teachable. When we get older, a lot of times we can say things like, "I don't need help. I don't need any help. Help is for those who don't know what they're doing. Help is for those who are weak." That's the biggest thing. We don't want to feel weak. You know, everybody has that resistance in them. I felt that. I felt like I want to build this shed myself. I'm going to need somebody else to help me with it. You know, that's not my first thought, is I'm going to call up somebody and bring... No, my first thought is I can do this myself. You know? And so, sometimes we're just flat stubborn in those areas. And sometimes we're so focused on getting things done, and maybe this is where you are, some things we're focused on getting things done and we're so busy, we don't take the time to help. You know, there's another old adage, like the first one we looked at, there's never time to do it right, but there's always time to do it over. You know, if we don't take the time to look for help, sometimes we have to do it over. But anyway, with Greg's help and with the help of that big jack that I bought, we're able to get to this point where it's level. Look at that. That is dead level right there. That's right in the middle. As soon as we got there, I said, "Okay, now it's ready to start adding stuff." And when you get help, the results are always much better. Now, the next part, the next lesson in all this is, okay, this foundation basically took 2 weekends. 2 weekends just to get a flat foundation. 2 weekends. I was tempted to be discouraged. But the next thing is, you've got to persevere. You've got to finish the job. Sometimes you can get all excited about following Jesus. Yeah. But then along the way, there's a lot of distractions that get you discouraged. But if you resolve to keep plugging away and learning from your mistakes, in the end, you will be successful. Like I said, two weekends to figure out the foundation, but then yesterday, two walls up. There it is, some more walls up. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. More walls up. There we go. It's moving along. And there we are. So we were all this way and more. We got further than this yesterday in one day, again, because the foundation was right. This part here, that doesn't really have anything to do with the story. I'm just... There, for a while, Greg wasn't around. And so I took a board and I put 2 nails on one end and I put 2 nails on the other end and I draped it over the fence to hold the panel up in case a wind came along. See, and I didn't have anybody to help me hold it up. So that's called a jig. I put together a jig. There it is right there. So, like I said, it doesn't have anything to do with it, I guess. Except sometimes along the way, you got to do. You got to think originally. So, it's got to do that. The other thing too to notice is, I don't know if you can see this or not. Well, probably not. Yeah, I guess you can't see it in this picture. Down here around the foundation, there are now 9 supports, not 4, and they're brick. They're not wood. So I shored up the foundation a lot, you know, which made it a lot more consistent. Okay, Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Can you imagine that? I mean, what if I hadn't counted the cost? Would I finish this project? What if I hadn't counted the cost? What if I had bought the building and I hadn't even considered the foundation, or I hadn't considered the time it took to build it, or the effort? You know, sometimes we live our lives that way. We live our lives in a way that, you know, it's just for the moment, and then we suffer the consequences and we don't realize the outcome. We live for the moment. So here comes these two 200-pound boxes, and they get plopped on my driveway. And, you know, even there, I hadn't considered how to move them from the driveway into the garage. I had to figure that out. But, you know, what if this would have happened? What if I'd have called the company, Lifetime, and I'd have said, I got these boxes, but I hadn't considered building the building, so you're going to have to come and pick them up. You know, can you imagine what would have gone on the other end? I mean, they would have hung the phone up and says, "You're not going to believe this idiot that just called. He's got the boxes on his driveway, and he wants us to pick them up because he hadn't thought about building the building." How dumb can you get? I mean, can you imagine that? But that's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about if you start down the road of pursuing God, but you haven't considered everything, you know, you're going to end up being ridiculed. This happens with a lot of people. A lot of people start something with God, and then they become a statistic. You know, and then what other people say is, "Well, you know, there's Joe. You know, I'm going to pick on Joe. He got hot on the religion thing for a while, but then he dropped it. I guess it wasn't what he was looking for." And then everybody ends up thinking less of Joe. See, if he would have stuck with it, he might have got criticized a lot. You know, people love to criticize you. If you're following Jesus, they think, "Well, you're an extremist. You're too extreme." But secretly, they admire you. I guarantee you that. I've seen that many times. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in other people's life. You know, they admire you. But not now. If you start it and you've given up, you're going to become, you know, an object of ridicule. The other thing is, another lesson is, this may be, let's see here, how many lessons we got? Five. This is the fifth one. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Okay, so here's as far as we got the other day. Now, it's very easy to get distracted because if you're like me, you become fixated on that stupid board that's leaning up against the building. That's a distraction. You know, that has nothing to do with it. Or you might get distracted by some other project that has nothing to do with this one. But you got to stick with it and finish it. Once this building is done, you know, I bought a hurricane kit to put on. I got these, it's these four 36-inch augers that go into the ground. And then there's a steel cable that goes over the building to hopefully make it survive in the case of a hurricane. You got to think about, you know, you got to take the job and take it to the end. You know, all the way to the end and get it all done. I could just forget about that, but then I would also be forgetting about the fact that this is basically a plastic building, right? That would be foolish. You know, if this was somewhere else, like in the middle of the country, it might be different, but here, got to have the hurricane straps. The Christian life can be that way. You can start out well, but then you get distracted and you start pursuing other things that are less important. So, last verse we're going to look at here is in Luke chapter 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. And some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Later on, this isn't up there, but later on his disciples ask him what the parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, and though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God, and those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So easy to do that. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. There's really only one type of soil out of these four that I want to be in this story. How about you? There's only one. It's the good soil. But it's so easy to fall into the other three categories. So just to wrap up today, you know, while the singers are coming up, I want to just recap the five things here. Five ways to build the Christian life, build your foundation with God, begin to pursue God. Choose your foundation. You know, choose your foundation. What are you going to base your life on? Choose your materials wisely, the decisions you make. Get help. Get help. You need someone to help you out, help you sort through things. How many of us are self-sufficient? You know, we need to get help. I don't care how old we are, it doesn't matter. It's not about how old we are or how much we know. It's about getting help so that we can make the right decisions. Finish the job. Finish what you start. Don't just go after it for a time, you're hot on it, and then, you know, it just becomes one more thing, and just a, you know, a waste dump of things that you started, you didn't finish. You got to finish the job. And last, don't be distracted. Start strong, finish strong. By the way, there's the shed without the board leaning up against it. Thanks.
Amen. Let's all stand. Great job. That was awesome, Tom. Now we know how to build a shed the right way.
Can I give this to you?
Let's all turn to number 209.